It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we are fired up, man. Talking hot rods, performance. Things go fast because we like that. Kevin, how you been, man? How's the week?
Oh, man. Well, I think you're kind of attuned with a little bit of my week. And I think it went as awesome as your week. Because we got to do some performance driving here recently that you'll see on our show coming up pretty soon. Man, it was badass.
Oh,
throwing cars around sideways, sometimes spinning out, lots of burnouts, head-to-head racing, pit moves.
Yeah, man. It's a good way to spend a few days for sure. I tell you, man, I'm fired up because, you know, one of the great things about this podcast is always talking to industry leaders and people that kind of can peel back layers of what we know as performance and leaders in the performance industry. What's really interesting is, you know, you kind of get a window, an opportunity to see what's around the corner, where performance is going, what people are thinking, and what's really, you know, shaking and baking out there in the performance world. And today, man, we do have a treat in the fact that Travis from SVT Performance is joining the old podcast.
That's right, man. These guys, you know, svtperformance.com, what a great resource online for, you know, forums. We're all familiar with that. How to's, who's doing what. Helping each other out, hopefully, not tearing each other down. But they got a great front page, too, with all kinds of insider articles. Because Travis and his lovely wife, they have great connections in the industry. You know, like ourselves, but they have your unique ones that we want to tap into. Now, clearly, these guys are focused a lot on Ford. But we're going to see some some similar trends. And, yeah, if you notice the name SVT, you know, that goes way back when. Because, you know, a number of years ago, Ford kind of up their name branding a little bit, so all Ford Performance. So these guys have been around for a long time. Like I said, they are the go-to, I think, for anything performance-related in the Ford world. So we want to kind of hit him up with, you know, what's kind of his insider take on some of the new offerings, man? This new Bronco with all the different configurations, the GT500.
Oh, my God, the Raptor Bronco? Oh. Bro, have you seen that Raptor Bronco?
Yeah.
I'm like, man, what's my credit score? Because it's about to go down.
yeah.
I, you know, what's funny is, you know, in my world, right, I'm kind of a diehard Mopar guy. I own a few Chevys. What a lot of people don't know is I own several Fords too, man. I you know, I have two big Ford trucks, my F-250, my F-350, because I think Ford trucks are legit. Own a, you know, Mustang. And look, man, I appreciate the brand, but more so performance. And these guys, dude, they eat it, breathe it, live it, sleep it, get up in the morning, like, you know, give me three eggs and a side of performance on the pancakes. They're all about making things go faster, making it funner. And that's why I got to respect.
Amen. God, and there's, like you said, these new offerings, you know, some of them I haven't even been in yet. My neighbor got a Bronco across the street, but, you know, all I've seen it is across the street. You know, I want to get in one of these things and go for a ride. And I believe Travis has gotten his hands on one and had some fun.
If you lick the door handle, it's yours. If you lick the door handle, technically it's
yours.
Well,
when I say across the street, I went over and I licked the whole dang thing and it still hasn't ended up in my driveway. But I'm working on it.
You got to lick his profile picture. That's the new thing.
That's getting a little personal.
It's taking it too far. all right, man. Well, look, how about we take a break? We come back with the man himself, and we talk all about where performance is going. You know, what's interesting, Kevin, is here we are in the forefront of really seeing performance change in a lot of ways and in a lot of different directions. You never really know what's coming down the alley next. As much as we feel like we got it figured out, everything is changing. So that in itself is a unique paradigm. It's something that I think it's going to be really interesting to talk to Travis about. So let's take a break. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. Whoopsh. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we're back in just a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we are ready to rock. Our boy Travis Hill. Yes, indeed. SVT Performance. Straight up rocking the Casbah. This guy knows, loves, eats, and breathes performance. Travis, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Hey, Willie. Appreciate you guys bringing us on. You two, Bird. Known you guys for a while, and just happy to be on the podcast. Thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah, man. Let's get this out of the way. You guys know what SVT stands for?
Pop quiz. Pop quiz.
Oh, this is good, man. Oh, this is so sweet. It's like your own jumpsuit or satin jacket. It definitely should have some sort of badge or a medal. I don't feel like there should be like a team of tattooists in there as well. SVT stands for Special. Go ahead. Tell them, Travis.
Special Vehicles Team.
Ooh, that's sexy. Yes. Special Vehicles Team. Dun, dun, dun. I hear some theme music. I see him like walking out of a big hangar. Like, oh, that's awesome. With people doing burnouts and Mustangs around you and climbing stuff in Broncos. Oh, that's just dreamy.
So when did that name actually come around? Because way back when there was SVO and then SVT, and then we've gone to Ford Performance. So when did the SVT come around?
That was in early 90s. So the 93 would have been the first model year for the SVT vehicles. You had the Cobra and the Lightning, of course. And it just went on for there up until 2014 was the last model year where Ford vehicles were actually branded as SVT.
That's funny. That's the Mustang I have is a 97 SVT Cobra.
Oh, yeah. I've got a 98 out in the garage here.
Oh, what's up? Way to go, yep. Travis.
Yeah, C-Head Brothers.
You know, it's ugly now, but I got a feeling that Mustang is going to come around like all the other ones.
I don't want to let anything go here, but I think the SN95 Mustangs are probably going to be the new hot thing because Fox bodies are so out of price range for so many people, and they built so many of those SN95s, and they're really a way better car than a Fox body, even though it still is sort of the Fox platform. You get a way better driving, handling car, and they're still cheap and plentiful.
Oh, man, I forget. You just reminded me I got a Fox body, too. I got two Mustangs. Good God.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. You know how it is with these old cars like this. If you want one nice one, you basically got to have three.
yeah, right?
What's your all-time favorite in the SVT lineup?
Would probably have to be my 04 Lightning. Like, I bought my favorite, and I bought it new. Still have it out in the garage. I love that because there's just nothing like it. That was basically the last supercharged Ford with no traction control, anything like that on it. You know, your traction control is your right foot, and it can get nasty for an inexperienced driver. I just love that. I like my cars to want to kill me, I guess is the way
I drive my- Yeah, we do too. I got several friends that have had those, and they all have the same opinion. They loved them because they were nasty and they were just burnout queens and just had a riot in them, you know, just ripping around town. And it's unusual at the time, right, to have the pickup truck performance kind of scenario.
And
right?
And really, they weren't one trick ponies either. I mean, they could they drove really well. They could actually haul a little bit and handled very well. I mean, one of the first outings with mine after I did my suspension work on it, I don't know if you guys have heard of Mustang Week in Myrtle Beach. Annual event down here, and at the time we had the Myrtle Beach Speedway, and you could go out and do fun runs on the track. It's a 5/8 mile asphalt oval used as a NASCAR track from the 50s. Took the Lightning out there, and I've driven, you know, a little bit of performance stuff, you know, over the years, but that was my first time out with that thing, and ended up cutting the second fastest lap of the weekend in a truck at Mustang Week.
Damn, in a truck.
Yeah. And yeah. After that, I had to replace the brakes because they were glazed over.
Hey, you know, while we're on the topic and sort of peeling back a couple layers of these older SVT options, where do you think the collector, say, you know, 5, 7, 10 years down the road, because you could still get some of these vehicles, you know, affordably, where do you think a collector should put his money if he had a little bit? Some of the new guys that are getting into, you know, some of the options out there today and wanting to find something a little bit older that they could play around with, where do you think is a good place to start? What's sort of a good, you know, in your opinion, couple platforms to choose from?
So the way it tends to always work is the last model year for whichever version of a vehicle it is tends to bring the most money. So an 04 Lightning will bring more than a 99 to 03. An 04 Cobra will bring more than an 03 Cobra and go on from there. So it depends on how much money you've got to spend. The 93 Cobras, those things are way up in the 40s, 50s for a real clean example. Let's not even talk about R model Cobras because those are way up there now. Terminators now, you know, what's one of the things on SVT Performance, we have a big market section. So we have a lot of cars in there available for guys to browse through and everything. especially if you're looking for those high performance Fords, not just the SVTs, but, you know, goes beyond that. But big Terminator section. And I've been posting about that on Facebook this week on our SVT Performance Facebook page. I can just basically call this Terminator Week. I'm just picking cars out of that market section and highlighting them. One was, I think it's a 6,000 mile screaming yellow. I don't remember if it was 03 or 04, but twin turbo kit, just nasty, nasty car. $47,000. And nobody is blinking at that price. That's just a great price, because where are you going to find another? Where are you going to find another 6,000 mile car like that? And it just so happens there's a 6,000 mile black one for sale as well. And I mean, it's getting like, you know, if you want one of these things, there's not a ton of them in that kind of shape. You got to be real willing to jump when you see it.
Hey, was that the 4.6? Was that the 4.6 yes. mod motor that was in those?
That was the 4.6 with the Manly rods, forged pistons, forged crank, could handle a good amount of boost.
Because that was what, 2002, 3, 4?
No, 2. Only 2002 Cobras went to Australia. But yeah, they built like 100 of those, which were basically 01 Cobras. But yeah, 3 and 4 got the supercharged V8 six-speed manual.
That was an awakening. Right, because that was the first time when they put that blower on, beefed up the bottom end a little bit. You know, they got what, 400?
That's when Ford addicted everybody to boost.
Yeah, that was mainline the kickoff, the PSI. I think. Yeah, and then of course everybody could, you know, over boost and under pulley and everything else, and just start making some wicked power. And that just, I don't know, to me that's when a lot of the craze just kind of fired off.
But if you had some money to spend and wanted to pick up something, the Terminators are pretty expensive now, but it doesn't seem like the 13 to 14 GT500s have taken off that much yet. They're going to bring close to sticker price for a really clean one, but you got to imagine sticker price almost 10 years ago, you're still getting it at a discount today. Yeah, you got to take inflation into account. I actually did that math for someone.
There's a lot of that lately.
They were saying, well, Terminator, I remember those were $35,000. I was like, yeah, in 02. $35,000 in 02 is like $55,000 today. Got to look at it that way.
Or $75,000 next year.
Yeah, pretty much.
If we fast forward a little bit, I think one that sticks in my mind is that GT350. What's your thoughts on that one as far as uniqueness, holding its value, or appreciating significantly in value?
That one, so it's got a couple things going for it and going against it. It being sort of that engine being very unique with that flat plane crank, it had some natural harmonic issues and things with it that will creep up over time on higher mileage cars. But then again, there's nothing else like it, and uniqueness sells. So it has that going for it. But it's funny you mentioned that. I was at the debut for GT350. And that was just a few months after they announced that it's not going to be SVT anymore. We're going to rebrand as Ford Performance. And if you remember, there's a strut tower brace on those cars. Mm-hmm. And it had a tag, which it came with a tag from the factory. But the tag in the press photos that were hanging in the warehouse where they debuted the car said powered by SVT on it. So they had intended for the GT350 to be an SVT branded vehicle, and just marketing had changed that at some point.
Oops. Well, wasn't that a big departure from what they normally did with that stuff? Then they go full on road course, like really get after like a road course style.
Yes, they did.
Both in the design and the architecture of it and everything they put to it.
Oh yeah. I mean, that car was an absolute blast on the track. Well, a friend of mine had one, we rented out VIR and had it there for the weekend and just tore the track up. So much fun.
Yeah. See, that one to me, you know, it's akin to the Boss 302, you know, way back when, you know, the 302 Boss, you know, had big ports. It wasn't the best on the street. It was a little bit awkward, but, you know, they kind of had a limited run. They did a lot of track stuff and it was great on the track. And it's not exactly the same thing, but it was unique enough that, you know, that is a very highly sought after vehicle. So I just think, you know, with the limited run on that engine, it's the only vehicle that Ford's ever going to produce with that engine in it. That, you know, it might take 20 years or 30 years, but it seems like that would be one that has that kind of oddball place in time and history with its own uniqueness that just kind of makes it soar, depending on how many of them survive, right?
Yeah, especially the R model. I mean, if you're a collector and want to put one in a bubble, that would be a very good one to do. if you wanted to actually enjoy the car on a track and everything, the Boss 302 might actually be the better car, because that thing is a tank. Everything about it is just made to go, and it's a very tough car, the way it's built and everything. If you want to go to the S550 body style and have a lot of fun on the track, really a Mach 1 with the track pack is 9/10 of a GT350. It's very close. And because of the Coyote engine, that Gen 3 Coyote with the direct injection, you have 12-to-1 compression. That car is actually a little bit more fun on the street, I feel. Makes a little bit more torque down low, and I prefer it to a GT350 just driving around town.
That's some good skinny, because not a lot of us are going to go out and buy the 350. So having really good options at lower price points is always great.
Well, the Mach 1 also got what I consider the best feature of the GT350, and that's the transmission. That Tremec 6-speed manual is a really good manual transmission. It's way better than the GT's Getrag MT82 manual.
And so I know it probably doesn't compare to a lot of stuff today, but you know, I'm trying to think of that 4.6 mod motor back in the day. I know it had intake manifold problems or right because it was plastic or something. It used to always leak, and some timing chain issues. Well, what did you guys do to really squeeze performance and reliability out of that setup so people go pound on them? Because you guys were making some serious legit power.
So that was mostly the 4.6 2-valve had the intake manifold issues. And yeah, it was the crossover pipe for the coolant to go from one head to the other was plastic, and it would just fatigue with thermal cycling over time. Ford came up with an updated intake manifold, replaced a ton of them under warranty. And, you know, that's really, if there's one of those cars out there running now, it has a new intake. So that's not a problem anymore. Mm-hmm. The two valves are very limited as far as performance without spending ridiculous money on those. Pretty much all of the early modular stuff is two valve, three valve. Even the four-valve stuff, really, if you want to go fast, you're better off getting into a Coyote car. 11 to 14s are still very affordable. And that dual variable cam timing on those 5-liter Coyote engines, it just, they eat boost. They make so much power.
Yeah, but as a guy that owns a 97, you know.
As a 97. So your best bet is to get probably a centrifugal supercharger. That's what I would do.
Well, I'm lucky because I don't have a drivetrain. Should I go LS or put a Coyote in it?
Well, it depends. Do you want your face to be seen in polite society? Coyote swaps in those SN95s it's down to a science now. There's a couple great shops that offer really, really nice bolt-in kits for that. It's all scienced out. You can get every bracket, everything you need, plus the control packs, bolt it in, go down the road.
Yeah. Kevin, that sounds like a TV show. Yeah. That sounds like a TV show, Kev. I don't know.
I was going to say it's sacrilegious, but you know, I've been there, done it myself, so I can't really talk. But doing it on TV shows sounds good to me. Somehow I might disassociate myself from sacrilegious actions on a Ford, but maybe I can talk myself
but
into
no,
it.
But I'll talk and put a Coyote. Yeah, SVT Coyote.
I thought you were talking LS swapping your Mustang on the show.
No, I'd keep it with Coyote because I've seen what a Coyote can do, man. I understand they're nasty. In streetcar road racing.
I don't want to start any inter-brand wars here, but I mean, you guys aren't taking LS motors straight out of the wrapper. You're not going to buy a brand new Camaro, put a blower on it, and make 1,000 horsepower. You will with a Coyote Mustang and a fuel system. Not crack a valve cover, it'll make 1,000 horsepower.
Hey, Travis, unfortunately, I've witnessed this one time with Bird and I's engine build. He cracked off a massive four-digit number, and I went home and cried in my pillow for like 3 hours. I feel like ever since I switched to extra sensitive toothpaste, I've been crying like that, but never like that. All right, let's take a break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. We're back with Travis Hill from SBT Performance in just a minute. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we are fired up Travis Hill, my man from SVT Performance, on the podcast with us today, talking all things SVT Performance. For Ford people, they know that name. It's such they got such heritage with performance. And really, Travis, do you guys go into it as just how do you guys approach it? Because a lot of people go, well, we need to build more of a road racing or something that handles, where some, you know, some auto manufacturers out there are thinking, I'm gonna own a straight line. How do you guys kind of approach where to go and what direction leads the charge?
Just to give you a little bit of background, SVTPerformance.com has been around since November of 2000. So 22 years old, we can legally drink. It's awesome. We're 21 years old now. So it is just a massive community of Ford enthusiasts who share a passion for just going fast, making power, make it, break it, build it better, get out there and have some fun. So it doesn't matter if you want to go drag racing, road course, I mean, even chump cars. We've got guys building those on the side.
Oh, those are awesome.
We've got a great community of guys that share information with one another and can help each other through the build process, plus a ton of great vendors that are leaders in the industry of what they do, tuners, engine builders. I mean, if you just want to go fast or make power or just make your Ford the best it can possibly be, there's just a ton of guys there to help you and point you in the right direction to get exactly what you need to accomplish your goals.
Man, and that is always helpful because anybody who's gotten into a project, right, you're trying to keep from falling in the same old pitfalls as everybody else. You're trying to, you know, to weigh out, you know, should I go this part, this vendor, you know, this direction? And then you can kind of really see what people have already done, you know, how successful they are at it, how durable is it, you know, to really help you kind of make some good decisions moving forward on your project, which, you know, it's going to put a lot of time, a lot of money, quite a bit of expense, you know?
Yeah. And another point that sort of helps these guys along. So like Willie, with your Cobra, you're going to have questions for that car that dates back, that predates, say, Facebook. And you can't go on there and search for the answer to why my car does this particular thing or how do I do this? Where SVTP has been around for 20 years, got a great search engine on the site. You can type in, you know, why does my head tick on my Terminator? And all that information is there.
Super handy. Now, you guys haven't stopped when SVT changed the name to Ford Performance. So in the new era, what do you see is just flaming hot? I mean, every time you turn around the news, just Bronco. Everybody's super excited. That's the new, you know, kid on the block. But the GT500 is just killing it, man. The DCT's transmission. I mean, it's as much of a Corvette fighter as ever the Mustang's ever been. What are you guys seeing as far as the enthusiasm and what people are doing for modifications with some of the newer products?
So that sort of leads into how times have changed with dealing with Ford as a manufacturer. A lot of the new stuff, say Bronco, the new F-150 Raptors, just 21 and up F-150s in general, and the GT500, Ford has locked down the ECUs on those so they're not as easy to tune. So there's only a handful of guys that are offering tuning for those, and it's not exactly race-oriented, I guess is how you would put it. So that's kind of held back some of those cars, even the GT500, as great as that car is right out of the box. It is killer. It's a ton of fun. There's no tuning for the transmission on that. The Trimic 7-speed DTC has its own ECU, or in this case, a TCU, that has to be tuned. And there's no access into that thing now. So we can tune the engine. You can change blowers. You can up the boost. You can make 1,200 horsepower. And you can make that power on the dyno and then go out and make a run down the drag strip. And it just says, nope, we'll close the throttle and you'll run, you know, a 10 when the car is capable of 8s. So there's a few guys that are out there and they've found their way around that. And it looks like that's going to start taking off now, that platform. But for the average guy that's looking to get a new car, do a build, you're going to buy a Coyote car and put a blower on it. That's the proven formula now. It works.
Yeah, like I said, when you're making four digits, you know, from one major upgrade, there really is no arguing about that one. And as far as anything else after that, does it peter out, or are we still finding some really good upgrades?
So the EcoBoost platform and say the Raptors, things like that, they respond very well to anything with boost from the factory responds very well. I'm actually hoping, don't know anything about this, but I'm hoping that Ford expands the use of the 7.3 engine into a few other platforms. I haven't seen many things excite as many Ford people as that Godzilla 7.3 engine. Right now, it's just a truck engine in motorhomes and Super Duties and things like that. But guys are really excited about that for like Fox body swaps and things like that, because, you know, like Willie was talking, should I do an LS swap? The reason a lot of people were doing LS swaps is because they're very simple. They're a compact engine. They make good power. And the 7.3 is sort of Ford's version of the LS, only turned up to 11, because Ford came in a little later to the game, saw what Dodge was doing, saw what GM was doing with push rods, and said, how can we make it better? And that gives you the 7.3.
So I know you guys are all, you know, sort of the online thing, but you guys put vendors together to make certain packages or lead people in a direction, steer them in a direction where they get all these performance upgrades. How do you guys integrate that to make the cars better themselves?
So it's really up to the individual guy on the site. We have all these vendors that are advertised and are there to help guys, say, if you need a blower or you need an exhaust system, anything like that. They're advertisers on the site, and you can ask them questions, deal with them directly, and build a relationship with your favorite, you know, performance shop, tuner, manufacturer. They're on there to just help guys with their builds.
And how did you guys get the branding of SVT on vehicles?
It basically, man, that's a long story. It's just been around for so long, back before really Ford ever cared about that kind of stuff, as far as like trademarks and things like that. And, you know, over the years, the guys that actually worked at Ford SVT came to appreciate the community that we built and the information we shared, and they would actually work with us. If guys were having issues with their cars, the engineers would want to know, and so they could fix it or make it better. And they would sort of backdoor information to us, like, hey, post about this and see if guys would think this is cool. Maybe we'll do this. Yeah. And so
interesting, dude. So it's so organic. It's almost like a living, breathing mechanism where people can go and just follow what is the ongoing trend and wherever that bell curve takes it. It's really interesting how it's just grown organically and spawned, you know, into what it is. What a crazy story. What a crazy idea.
It's a full-on community. Yeah, it's a full-on community.
Yeah, it's just a crazy, just how the mechanism has evolved to work is what makes it so intriguing and interesting, because that's like a badge of honor for a lot of, you know, a lot of the old Mustang guys. If, you know, if you're a hot rodder and you saw it, you know, the SVT Cobra coming in, you knew there was going to be something special about it, you know, but you necessarily didn't know the backstory, which to me is fascinating because it's such a unique way that it came about. And what you guys provide is such a robust mechanism for people out there looking for performance. It's really clever.
Yeah, man. Over 20 years, nearly 200,000 members. It's a great community.
Interesting.
So what are you seeing? Because you start talking about the 7.3. You know, we were talking a little bit offline, you know, a few days ago, that it's a lot of times about momentum. So, you know, if they can get that engine in more vehicles, right? It's already in the vehicle and then it's easy to do mods. But if it's just in trucks, now you got to pull it out and you got to swap it into something, which is great for anybody doing builds like old Broncos and trucks and hot rods. It's perfect. But those are a limited number of folks that are doing the swaps versus, you know, anybody who's got a Camaro has got the engine in it. You just add on to it, whether it's a blower or this or that. Where do you see this going? I mean, is the excitement building? Is aftermarket latching around? Because I've seen plenty of folks. We had Brian Wolf on a few months back talking about what he's doing on dyno. But, you know, are there engine mounts and headers and all kinds of things that help people do those swaps that are, you know, coming to the table?
Yeah, there are. It came out really quickly for the 7.3. I think a lot of the guys saw the success a lot of shops were having with Coyote Swaps, and they wanted to get in on what they perceived to be the next big thing. And it was the 7.3. And like I said, what we're really needing is Ford to sort of put that in some more vehicles, get more of them out there, and maybe some more performance-oriented things. You know, an F-150, that would be cool, something like that. What would be really nice is an aluminum block version of it in a lighter vehicle. If I was the Ford engineer out there looking, like, how can I justify us making an aluminum block version of this thing? I would be talking to the guys over at Lincoln. He's like, you guys should put a blown version of the 7.3 with aluminum block and a Navigator and charge $120,000 for it.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah. Then it's out there. It's just out there. Let that pay for the program so the racing people can have a nice aluminum block in the Ford racing catalog.
Yeah, man. You see a time, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years, you see a time frame where you think, you know, that 7.3 is, I know it's available now, and I believe we talked to somebody who was talking about how many crate engines they're selling now with that. Do you believe that's something that is going to happen and you see that evolving in a rapid pace over the next few years?
I can see it because there's a lot of pent-up demand for just cubic inches. Those engines sound great. The Coyote, while it's a great platform, it's huge. Those dual overhead cam cylinder heads, the thing is literally wider than a big block. So you have to work around a little bit that dimension, whereas the 7.3 is like a traditional pushrod small block. It'll fit in a lot of platforms. I mean, you can plop that thing in a Ford Ranger. It's crazy. So that's a really interesting.
Ooh, Kevin, show idea. We could flop a 7.3 and a 97 Mustang. What?
I'm in. Let's do it.
Well, it's great too. Now there's some oil pans out there. That was one of the real holdups on that. Was, you know, it has that truck oil pan from the factory. So lots of great swap parts. I know Holly's working on some. So, you know, huge in the industry. Massive. For that kind of stuff.
Yeah, wow. I'm hopeful, man. I definitely, you know, you're seeing the first rounds of it. Can it get round two and three and really build up momentum, you know, to the point where like an LS, you can get every single part aftermarket from cranks to blocks to you name it. You know, if you can get to that level with the 7.3, boy, we got something going. Like you said, I mean, be able to get the aluminum block in there. Now you can put it in, you know, more road race and other kind of hot rod type stuff that you might not want to put the heavier version in, but yeah, my fingers are crossed. That's a great platform,
man. This is no joke, man. I just bought a cam and head package for my LS at 7-Eleven the other day. Circle K had the same package, but it was a little more expensive.
Yeah, we need to get to that level. That's what I'm
They're
talking
everywhere.
About.
Yeah, man, that's just too much. Well, look, Travis, man, how do people find out more? Tell us more about where they need to go to get plugged in to this massive community.
All you got to do is just head over to svtperformance.com. That'll take you to our front page where we have all our editorial and video content that we create ourselves. If you want to get in on the community, just click the
I saw that Raptor Bronco. That thing's absurd.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get a little bit of time with that in the next month or so. I need to make a little trip to Detroit, maybe find one that falls off a truck, have a little bit of fun there.
Yeah, you get some seat time in that, man. You let me know. We'll get you back on here because I'm dying to get more scoop on this Bronco, man. It's on my buy list. Well, yeah, it's on my buy list for sure.
I had a little time about 3 or 4 weeks ago with just the regular Bronco, not even a Sasquatch package. And I was very impressed by how well that thing drove, handled on the road, got decent mileage for what it was, and then was a beast off-road. It was an Outer Banks version, so it's a sort of the more tame version of it. But we took it out on the beach, just tore up the sand. It's awesome. We'll have that coming out, I think, later this week, the video story and all that.
Wow, man. Just a really cool little universe you created for those enthusiasts where, you know, it doesn't matter if it's parts, knowledge, forums, questions, concerns, upgrades, the latest go fast goodies. It's all there. It's all available and it's all just come and get it and absorb. It is really cool. I encourage anybody that's an enthusiast to check that out. It's definitely unique and just a cool experience that, you know, you only see growing in this this environment.
Yeah, we're on a, you know, most of the major platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all that good stuff. We're more active on some than others, but that's another way to get in touch with us. But it, all roads lead back to the website, to svtperformance.com.
Y'all on LinkedIn? No, I'm just kidding, man.
Actually, I am. Professionally.
All right, man. Well, we're going to catch you again on a podcast soon, man, because there's just too much to catch up on and talk about. We're out of time today. All right, he is Travis Hill from SVT Performance. Definitely make sure you check that. And make sure you check out our show, Aaron Weekends, on the Motor Trend Network. Check your local listings. We're also available on demand, which is always a great resource to find us. Thanks to our guest, Travis Hill. He is Kevin Bird, our producer, Scoop, executive producer, Mr. Bob Ecker, and I'm Willie B.
Man, we got a website too, twoguysgarage.com. Check us out there and share your thoughts with us on social, man. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Two Guys Garage. Now, this Two Guys Garage podcast is copyright 2022, Britton Productions Incorporated. All rights reserved.
Hey, Travis, thanks for the time, man. I'll let you know when I start that 97 Mustang project for sure.
No, not a problem, guys. You guys film in Florida, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, just give me a holler. I'm up here in South Carolina. I can make a trip down.
Yeah, man, that'd be awesome. It's on the to-do list for sure, man. That's one I'm keeping. Yeah. So, right on, brother. Thanks for the time, man. And we'll catch you guys on the next Two Guys Garage Podcast.
See you guys.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Britton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.